Turn in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 30, and from verse 25 to verse 43. Oftentimes in life, bad things happen to us. At least that's how we describe it. And oftentimes, the response of people, and especially believers, is to say, why? Why me? Why this? Why not? I bumped into someone this past week, and they were talking about all of their problems in life, and they have some very serious problems. But it was interesting that towards the end of the conversation, they said, why? We don't understand why. And I find oftentimes that question strange. Why do we ask why? Why is there a why at all? And the problem seems to be this, that why we have theology in our heads, we understand God is sovereign, that there is a plan in the mind of God, that the will of God shall be done. We seem incapable almost of connecting that plan to our own individual lives, to see how we as individuals and in our own circle, how all that fits into God's plan. And that is often the reason for the why. There shouldn't really be a why. Or if there is, we should know the answer to it. And one of the most thrilling aspects of theology is to answer that why. It is to make the connection for us between our individual lives and God's overall plan. God's plan for the whole universe that we occupy. And that's the value of scripture biographies. It is to remind us God has a plan, and how our individual lives are connected to that plan. And it is through that that we gain, as a consequence, those valuable apostolic characteristics, patience, comfort, and hope. Because if we don't make this connection, we don't get the prizes of patience, comfort, and hope. So as we come to these verses, 25 to 43, which are all about sheep, and this strange practice by Jacob, you may wonder, well, how on earth does all this fit into the great plan of life? And how is that connected to me in the 21st century? Well, our subject title is God Preparing the Way. God Preparing the Way. Let me remind you of the context. Jacob fled from Esau, and in the course of that, he learned that God would take care of him, chapter 28. And the first proof, the first piece of evidence that God was taking care of him is in chapter 29. His meeting with Rachel in such extraordinary circumstances, in a way that he could not have planned himself. But he also learned something else. He learned that providence can subsequently make life difficult. And he finds himself with what he didn't expect, two wives, one he loves and one he hates. And the one that he loves has no children, and the one whom he hates has the children. So one has the love and the other has the children. And both of these women turn out to be jealous, manipulating, and competitive to such an extent that Jacob seems to be just a pawn in all this manipulation, and the outcome is he ends up with four wives. It's all totally bizarre, isn't it? And yet that is the precise situation in which we've already looked at, where we have seen how God fulfills his promise even through sin. Well, what now? What's going to happen next? Well, let's note first of all, in verses 25 to 26, God's timing in Jacob's life. God's timing in Jacob's life. Verse 25 says, when Joseph was born. This is clearly and obviously a turning point in Jacob's thinking. It was certainly a turning point in Rachel's in comparison to Leah. Both these women seem to be moving in opposite directions. Look at what Rachel says in verse 24. The Lord shall add to me another son. Rachel, in all her conversation up until this point, you can clearly see she moves from Elohim to Jehovah. Now she speaks of God as the covenant God. But Leah has moved in the opposite direction. She begins with Jehovah, the covenant God, and ends up speaking of Elohim. So there has been some kind of shift taking place in her thinking. But however, the birth and the naming of Joseph is that pivotal moment when Jacob concludes, it's time for me to return. But that becomes a pivotal event for all that follows. God's timing. For God has not yet finished with Jacob. God has not yet done all that he intends to do through Jacob. So this becomes a pivotal moment. And you can see that as we follow the whole narrative through. Which brings me secondly to verses 27 to 13. God's kindness to Jacob's kindred. Laban doesn't want Jacob to go. After all, he tells us, he has been greatly enriched by Jacob's gone. The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. That's a great testimony, isn't it? It is an excellent testimony that the presence of Jacob has been the means by which blessing has descended upon Jacob's kindred. Not that Laban knows God, but even as a pagan, an idolater, he comes to acknowledge what the Lord, the covenant God of Jacob, has done. That's what's special here. Is he a pagan? Look again at verse 27. I have learned by experience. And the word experience is elsewhere translated enchantment. To practice divination. To observe signs. So Laban's point obviously is that Jehovah gave to Jacob what his own enchantments, his own divinations could not give him. So God was kind to Laban only because of Jacob. I've learned by experience. All that I've gotten didn't come by my enchantments, my lucky charms, my divination, my skills at all this idolatry. All that I have gotten, your God has given me. And this is an astonishing admission. We can't rush over this here and say, oh yes, yes, now let's get to the meat of the chapter. This is part of the meat. And Jacob also acknowledges God's kindness to Laban. Verse 30. The Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. So Laban acknowledges Jehovah's blessing. And Jacob acknowledges Jehovah's blessing. The one had little that has been increased massively. That's Laban's case. Jacob came with nothing, and yet he too has been part of all of this blessing. So he has seen the work of the Lord in this whole situation. And Jacob is acknowledging, I have contributed nothing. It's the Lord who has done it all. The Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And Jacob could rightly say, when I came, you didn't have very much, Laban. But when I came, I didn't have anything. But you have got a lot out of my coming. Jehovah has given you all these things. So you've got God's timing in Jacob's life. And then you have God's blessing or kindness to Jacob's kindred. And then from verse 31 to 43, this rather long section, God's reward for Jacob's faith. That may seem a tall claim, but let me repeat it. God's reward for Jacob's faith. Jacob sets out to prove what he's just said, that all blessing comes from God and God alone. He also sets out to prove his own integrity and honesty in verse 33. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. And he seeks to prove all of this by what appears to be a reckless act of faith. In the course of his deliberations with Laban, he says, this is what we'll do. You take all, we'll call them speckled sheep for now, all the speckled sheep, all the speckled goats, you take them out of the herd and you leave me with the monochrome. You leave me with all the white. And we'll go from there. Jacob is left with a flock that has one solid color. In that sense, Jacob is starting with nothing. But what he did next was either brilliant or foolish, verses 37 and 38. But the result is in no doubt. The flocks produce speckled offspring. And from that speckled offspring, he separates the strong from the weak and keeps on breeding the strong. And the outcome was that the solid colored sheep, because they were weaker as time goes by, they were fewer in number. So Jacob prospers. And he prospers in a really spectacular way. So much so, we are told in verse 43, that he needed additional help. Maidservants, men servants, and of course he acquires other accoutrements as well, camels and asses. God rewarded Jacob's faith. Genesis 31 verse 12, "For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel," and so on. So God's acknowledging twistedness of Laban, not that Jacob is wholly innocent, but God has rewarded Jacob for leaving everything with him. "Give me nothing," he says. "Thou shalt not give me anything." Verse 31. So here's what we'll do. Let's put it all to the test. I will start with nothing, except that solid colored sheep and goats, and whatever comes out of all of that that is speckled belongs to me. You can have what's left. Bold, reckless, or trusting God? Well, let's come to applications of all of this. First of all, we must face an objection. What Jacob did was unscientific. There is no evidence that an external image can be transmitted to DNA structure. Wholly unscientific. But before we rubbish what Jacob did, we need to be sure that we know what he did, because that's what's important. What exactly did he do? Well, we're told that Jacob removed the bark of various trees. He put the peeled wood into the water troughs. And you will notice the use of the word conceive in verse 38, which is translated elsewhere in our Bible as hot, heat, and warm. So it is evident that there was some chemical substance that came from these peeled branches that were put into the water that was digested by the animals that served to increase the mating of these animals. You have to understand that Jacob had years of experience, and so he would know certain things about animals. Would know how to increase the mating of sheep. He also knew something else, that in the breeding of sheep, that there is the tendency of some to produce pure, solid-colored sheep, and others that are not solid-colored. Because it is out of the ones that are speckled in any way, from which he says he will breed more. And that's what he does. And so after the first year of breeding, he evidently would have, from that breeding, the foundation for what was to come. So there's nothing unscientific about what he's doing. But then secondly, Laban confirms that God keeps his word. Laban confirms that God keeps his word. Verse 27, "I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Let's go way back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Here is that promise being fulfilled in a small manner. But it is being fulfilled. It may not be all the families of the earth in Genesis 30, but it's evidence that God keeps his word. Yes, Laban remains an idolater. But what we ought to do is rejoice that he could see the failure of his own religion and ideology and the truth of what God has done. What does the Lord Jesus Christ tell us? He tells his people that they ought to do good. Why? That those to whom we do good would give glory to our Father in heaven. That's the purpose. We don't just do good to others to make others like us and feel good about it. What motivates us to do good to others is that the others will glorify our Father in heaven. That's why we do it. I think sometimes we are selfish. We do good to others because we want them to like us. That's the sum total of our interest in them. We are good to others, so they in turn will be good to us. They'll be nice to us. Say nice things about them. But that's a fleshly reason for doing good. Look at all this here. Here's a pagan who acknowledges the place of God. The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And Jacob says, yes, the Lord has blessed you. Jacob doesn't say, well, I'm a great guy, aren't I? Laban doesn't say, you know, Jacob, you're fantastic. That's what we would like. We would like to do good for them to say, wow, I'm glad I met you. You're the best person I've ever met. Don't we want even pagans to say, the God whom you serve must be awesome, must be glorious. Tell me about this God. Because I've watched, I have seen, I have learned how the Lord has blessed because of you. And you know, all through Scripture, there's something you can do. You could look at all those other occasions when pagans acknowledge God because of believers. Raises questions, doesn't it? Raises questions about the state of Christianity in our country when the pagans of our country can't see any benefits because of the presence of believers in their midst. Maybe our country has sunk so low that the only time they'll wake up and realize what blessings there were of all the Christians were murdered or exiled in other countries and there was no Christians left. But we have hundreds, thousands of Christians in this country. And yet, do pagans say, the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake? Perhaps there's something wrong about our Christianity. Perhaps there's something wrong about the perception that Christians are giving to the country. But the one thing we cannot miss, a pagan, Laban, confirms God keeps his word. Isn't that enough to encourage you to trust God? You know, we did sing in Psalm 13. When he speaks of his enemies, says in verse 5, but I have all my confidence thy mercy set upon. My heart within me shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will unto the Lord my God sing praises cheerfully, because he hath his bounty shown to me abundantly. God keeps his word. If you remember nothing else from these verses, don't forget this one truth. God kept his word. God is true. His word is true. His promises are true and faithful. And then thirdly, Jacob, for all his faults, doesn't he show the importance of faith? Because Jacob refuses a wage from Laban, preferring to leave the outcome. Yes, he uses means, but the outcome is ultimately with God. Jacob could have said, well, let's tot up all the years that I worked here, multiply it by how much every year is worth, and that's what you give me. And I will leave with what you, Laban, give me. No, he says, don't you give me anything. I'm not going to leave here with your wages. This is what we'll do. And so when he comes to leave, he leaves with what God has given him. Did he work hard? Of course he did. Long hours in this job. Much responsibility. And when he's starting off, who knows what the outcome may be. But who's behind all of this? Who's in charge? Who's governing? It is God. It's not Laban. It is God. And we have to learn, don't we, to leave things with God. Do what we can, trust God, and leave the outcome with him. But we want to so control every detail that we think we can manipulate the outcome. And then we get exasperated when we don't get what we want. There is a sense in which we do need to copy Jacob. Leave the outcome of the Lord. Trust him. Depend upon him. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray.